2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to a domination station, research station, all sorts of incredible information right there on DFSArmy.com. Once again, promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter, 14A.Walsh. Find Shy Moshe, Mr. Bear here. It's playoff time, Bear! Come out of the cave!
Oh my God, I'm so excited. You ever remember when you were a kid?
And not really, your parents, but okay.
Well, that's sad. But and your parents told you, like, we're going to go to Disneyland, or we're going to go to, like, the candy store or the toy store, somewhere that would excite you. That's how I feel about the playoffs starting.
Yeah, now you know what's funny? You mentioned Disney World, Land. I forget which one's in Florida. But I got lost twice on the same trip when I was 5 years old. That is a true story, folks. True story.
Yeah, World is in Florida. So I just wanted to give a quick update on Steph Curry. I just saw the Warriors PR sent out an update. He missed the last 10 games, examined yesterday by the team's medical staff. The examination indicated that Stephen has made steady functional progress since the injury. And as a result, he will intensify his on-court rehab in the coming days, which will include more running and lateral movement. He will be reevaluated again in 1 week. Mm. So he's not going to be reevaluated for another week, which they might be down 3-1 by then. Who knows?
Wow. Yeah, I heard a sound clip from Steve Kerr the other day. It was just, I don't know, a day or two ago. And he said, like, legit, on the sound clip I heard, he's not even close to coming back right now. So I don't know if that's maybe a little bit of motivation to his own team, the Warriors, basically saying, hey, get your shit together one way or the other. Or, you know, I guess it could be, you know, truthful. Maybe he isn't coming back at all. So, you know, it's amazing the Warriors' record without him. You know, you think that they would be fine with a core group of KD, Dre, Clay, guys like that. But no, apparently that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not. And the crazy thing about it is I don't think a lot of folks understand that when you give Popovich time to just focus on one team versus the rigor of an NBA season, the next night you have another team up and you kind of forget about the last team. He's a dangerous guy. I mean, so it sounds like we'll probably start off with the Spurs and Warriors.
Sure, yeah. Hell of a segue, Bear. You're learning this podcast business very quickly.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, here's the thing. I think a lot of folks are going to say, okay, well, Steph is out. Obviously, KD's going to run all the offense, which is, you know, reasonable. I think that the Spurs are going to mandatory send a two-team to KD every time down the court. I think Popovich is going to say, you know, they don't have that insane shooter and ball handler anymore. They've got, so it's Klay Thompson. So you've got Draymond who can shoot, but definitely not his, you know, best trait as a basketball player.
Not entering the 3-point contest anytime soon.
Right. You've got Iguodala who can shoot, but if he's going to kill you, let him kill us.
Everything was based on the way you said shoot. He can shoot, but
right, like it's kind of something he can do. I mean, he was a better shooter when he was a little bit younger, I think, too, which has a lot to do with legs. And then you've got JaVale McGee, who, you know, you beg for him to shoot, you'll pay him to shoot. So, I think for me, at least in this game, I don't know if I can play Kevin Durant just because He's one of the higher priced players, and I think you can get studs in other spots that are much better to smash.
So I had to take a look here at how much who exactly has done the most damage against the Spurs this season. And just looking at it, Kevin Durant has the highest fantasy point total, 65 on FanDuel, 66 on DK. That was back on March 8th, second to last time that these two teams face off. Draymond Green actually has the second and third highest fantasy point totals of any Warriors player against the Spurs this season. And then you got Kevin Durant there with the fourth highest. So, it's been shown that Durant and Draymond have been the guys. They're certainly going to have to be the guys again. But yeah. Let me ask you something. So we talked about it at the beginning, kind of, the Warriors really not doing that well. Is there a part of you that thinks, all right, it's the playoffs. They got to start clicking now.
Yes. And so you mentioned Draymond. That's the guy that I am virtually locking in. Draymond, playoff Draymond is the Incredible Hulk. He turns into a monster. And he's going to have to be, like you said, he's going to have to be. They need him to. And he's, what is he, 7K? Where is he? Yeah, he's 7K on FanDuel. So, I mean, that's like really easy for me to play. But I think a little bit is going to be, so here's what you're going to see. You're going to see, they're going to start Quinn Cook. Quinn Cook is not a guy who should be the starting point guard for the defending champs.
Hey, just shouldn't. Former Duke great. Come on, show some respect, man.
That's fine, but, Steph Curry. So, having said that, I think we're going to see a lot more Sean Livingston.
Okay.
He's been there. He's experienced. He's a veteran. He's not fazed by the lights. He's been there. He's done it. And so that leads me to believe, and also, by the way, you're going to need him for his defense as well. So on the Warriors side, for me, it's going to be maybe take a flyer or two at Sean Livingston, 100% Draymond Green. I don't see how I don't play Draymond Green. And because of my theory that they're going to mandatorily send a double team onto KD, I might play a little bit of Klay Thompson as well.
All right. So we just – by the way, I love that theory there with Sean Livingston. Again, DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte.
Very versatile point guard. Guy like Livingston can certainly neutralize a lot of his versatility. So yeah. I like that a lot. All right. So if not – him, then whom from the Spurs team?
I mean, I don't – so as I mentioned, and I know you're going to have Ben Simmons and Anthony Davis at the power forward spot, but I mentioned that I'm going to play almost all Draymond Green. On the other side, I'm going to play almost all LaMarcus Aldridge. He is the focal point of the offense. Everything is going to funnel through him. And rightfully so. They don't have Kawhi. So he's going to probably see a lot of Draymond on him. And usually that's something that I'm not so happy with. But with LaMarcus, the ball will just be in his hands so often, I don't think it'll really matter. Plus, he's got a mid-range game. He's not just a bang-down-low kind of guy. And that turnaround fadeaway jump shot from the post is butter. So I like LaMarcus a lot. I think we're going to have to look at the value plays. Danny Green, we haven't seen what the starting lineup looks like yet for Pop. But you figure because of his defensive prowess, probably going to be glued to Klay Thompson. On FanDuel, Danny Green's 3,800. I mean, yeah, you got to play him. He's also heavily experienced. Pop trusts him. He can shoot the three. He's going to play 30 minutes. He can definitely hit 6, 7X in the playoffs. We've seen it before. So I definitely like some Danny Green.
All right. No, I definitely like that. One thing I wanted to point out, as you were talking about LaMarcus Aldridge, he does have the three highest fantasy point totals of any Spurs player against the Warriors this season. He's also done no fewer than 36 in all four meetings against them this season. But, I mean, you take a look at the numbers. I mean, the three that Aldridge has really torn up Golden State in, he's done no fewer than 49 fantasy points on either site. You got a lot of similar numbers on both sites there. 49 in one game. You got 56 in another. Let's round it up to 57. And then the other one, you know, just a huge game. He's had at least 30 points in each of the last two meetings, 30 real points in each of the last two meetings with Golden State as well. So I wholeheartedly back you up there on LaMarcus Aldridge. Kyle Anderson, the guy I wanted to talk about here, he's right behind Aldridge in terms of production against this Warriors team. So what's the thought on him going into this?
I think we're gonna have to see again. We're gonna have to see who starts. I mean, this is going to be a series of chess between Kerr and Pop, who you know have a relationship there. I think Kerr played for him, right?
Yes, he did. He did a brief stint with the Spurs.
Yeah. My. I'm reading here right now. Steve Kerr won't tell us who is starting at center today. Quote: I'm not going to tell Pop either.
Nice.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of we don't know until game starts, which is horrible for DFS. But either way, you're going to see a decent amount of Kyle Anderson either way. He's probably – so here's the thing. If the Spurs continue their style of play, they will play Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge and then move Kyle Anderson to the three with Patty Mills and Dejounte Murray.
Okay.
But the problem with that is that means you're going to have Patty Mills guarding. Technically, you can slide over to Cook and you can have Dejounte guard Klay Thompson. The issue with that is eventually Golden State's going to get small and they're going to take out JaVale or whoever they start, and they're going to bring in Iguodala, and they're going to put Draymond at the five, and they're going to put KD at the four, and then Iguodala, Klay, and Cook, or whoever else they bring, Livingston, whoever they bring in. So the Spurs are going to have to make a decision. Do we want to, which you're not going to win, do we want to stay small and keep up with these guys? Or do we want to stay big, make them not play their game, which without Steph Curry, you can do that. If Steph was in the game, I would say good luck. He's going to run the pace. No Steph Curry, Al, no pace. It's just the way it goes. So this is where I think the Spurs have a legitimate shot at upsetting the Warriors is because of what I'm talking about right now. And Popovich is the guy that knows how to do that.
Hey, and, you know, we talked about it going into the final day of the regular season. Yeah, hey, look, the Spurs probably don't want to win this game. They could probably get themselves the number 7 seed. That Popovich mind, it's always working.
It is, man.
Always working on overtime. All right, so we're all good from the 3 o'clock game here. Well, 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah.
All right, we're good there. We'll just go by time. That way we know we're getting this pot out a little later, so, you know, you guys could get the games that are closer with a little more frequency here. So we've got the 1-8 matchup in the East that comes on right after the Golden State Spurs game. We've got the Toronto Raptors hosting the Washington Wizards. These two teams, no stranger to each other in the playoffs, certainly could be a good thing here for the 8-seeded Wizards. They've beaten the Raptors before in playoff series. What's the key here? Either side, main guy here that's going to be the X factor in this series.
Here's the thing about that. I don't think there is just one.
Oh,
I think this Raptors team, as we've been talking about all season, it's not the same team, right? They're not. So if you look at shots, minutes, points per game for their two studs in Lowry and DeRozan, they're not nearly as much as they've been historically,
right?
Because they don't need them to be, right? So I think the X factor for the Raptors is their bench, like it's been all season.
Right.
I think Van Vliet. I think Jakob. I think DeLon. I think CJ Miles will play a big role. I think Pascal Siakam. I think Van Vliet. I think all of those guys are going to come in and allow Serge and DeRozan and Lowry and Yovao an opportunity to be fully rested and have the strength to close out games solidly. So I think that's the key to the Raptors is what has been off season. That's their bench unit. From their starters, though, from a DFS perspective, DeRozan is $7,000. I mean, dude, that's really simple. And if you look at our ADVP versus Washington, the highest on the – second highest on the slate is shooting guard versus Washington. The only top one on top of that is centers versus New Orleans. I mean, so you get a 7K guy who's going in at home into the first game of the playoffs who's going to want to show out for that first game. I mean, DeMar's got 50 potential. We know that.
Sure.
And then Kyle Lowry is 6,800. I mean, it's not – it's a really ugly matchup there if you look at the DVP numbers. But I don't mind playing both.
Yeah, I was going to say I personally have a preference of going with DeRozan over Lowry in this situation. Well, it's just something all season. I've absolutely hated using point guards against the Wizards, and this is even dating back to whenever John Wall was in the lineup. However, yeah, that price right there on Kyle Lowry is perfect for the playoffs, but I got to go DeRozan here looking at the season matchup. You already talked about the ADVP. That's glorious. But DeRozan has four of the five highest fantasy point totals against the Wizards this season, and they're pretty damn good. Three of them going for at least 40. You had one game back on November 19th where he nearly hit 60 in that game. So the track record's certainly there this season for DeRozan to, you know, to look better above Lowry. Now, Lowry did have a 50-plus game back on February 1st against this Wizards team. And, you know me, Bear, by now. What's my favorite place to attack the Wiz?
Where it's supposed to be, down low.
Indeed, indeed. So I personally think that, you know, Joe Val, highly emotional player. I think today, game one is the one where he shows up. I really don't know what the guy, you know, is going to do on a nightly basis. But I think tonight, or today, you're going to have that place rocking, that stupid courtyard where they have everyone standing outside and everything. I think it's one of the worst ideas in basketball history. But this is I think this is a pretty good spot for Joe Val, and I'll even add a little DeRozan in for some Raptors exposure. I've been trying to tell non-DFS people, like, you know, I've had people ask me who my NBA Finals prediction is. The Raptors are involved in that. We'll get to the West Coast. It's that second unit for the Raptors that's just so good.
So the other day, you're gonna love this. I'm gonna be quick because we gotta make this podcast fast. But I was driving through Chick-fil-A.
Oh, love Chick-fil-A.
Shout out to our Chick-fil-A junkie JJ. What's up?
Yeah.
Love that guy. And I had a basketball like I always do in my passenger seat. And our Chick-fil-A, they're all really really young kids. They look like high school kids. They might be college, but they're like in their teens, right? And the guy goes and goes, "Hey man, are you hooping? Is that right? Are you going to hoop?" And I'm like, no, it's noon on a Wednesday, but I did yesterday, last night, or Monday night. I played a couple nights a week. He goes, "Oh, well, who do you think is going to make it to the finals?" And I look at him and I was like, "You're not going to believe me if I tell you." So he goes, "No, I want to know who it is." I'm like, "I think it's going to be the Raptors in the East." And his face was like, "Oh my God, are you serious?"
Yeah. Well, no, it's the thing, because I think so many casual basketball fans are just sick and tired of the Raptors that they're like, "All right, whatever, same old story again." And then, you know, Cleveland beat them a couple times down the stretch, which really didn't help their case. But, well, I guess it didn't help their case from public perception, because I actually think it helps them going, you know, if they got to play the Cavaliers next round. I think that they could definitely beat them. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just, you know what, it's a solid 10-man unit, 11-man unit, if you want to call it that, that they got going on. Nobody in their main rotation sucks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly right. So on the Washington side, let's see here.
Beal, been the main producer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Beal is going to be massively, criminally underowned here. And if you look at the matchup again, like you said, the numbers are strong. The attention will be on a Wall. Wall's going to make sure to set him up. Guys come out for the first game of the playoffs, man. They just do. You want to look at the stars more than anything else. And so I think at 7,900, I can definitely play some Beal.
All right. Any interest here in the bigs from Washington? I feel like they'll be needed. Toronto's got some pretty good size here. Any interest in maybe some dart tosses in like a Gortat or Markieff or, I don't know, anybody that we're not even thinking of?
Gortat, 1,000% no. So it depends on what you mean by bigs. So power forward and centers, sure. I don't mind Markieff at all. I think Markieff is ready to play. Healthy. A lot of it will depend on Otto Porter's health. I personally think Otto Porter's going to play. It's the playoffs. He has his limbs intact. He's going to play. If this is a regular season game, I wouldn't be as comfortable. But I'm really fond of Otto Porter. Dude, Otto Porter's 5,900 on FanDuel.
Hey.
How do you not play that? And I understand he's going to match up with OG in the beginning, but I don't see OG playing 30 minutes here. So, I'm good there. A guy that I'm very interested in from Washington, also I think he will go under-owned, is going to be Oubre.
Okay.
We've got Oubre at just under 30 minutes projections here. They are going to need him to score. They are probably going to end up having to go pretty small because we both know, right, Gortat doesn't play more than 20-something minutes, right? 20 if he's lucky. So when he leaves, they bring in Oubre typically, and they go small ball, which is probably when they'll sit Yovel, unless Yovel's dominating and they want him to score a little bit more. But that leaves Oubre in the open court, which I like. Certainly he's going to be matched up with OG, which might suck, but OG might sit by the time he comes in. So Oubre is a guy that I think we should look a little bit more closely at. 4,400 on FanDuel. He's got, fantastic upside, so I like that.
Yeah, certainly. And remember, a lot of people probably have a bad Oubre taste in their mouth from that last day of the regular season where everybody was loving him, and he dropped 8.5 on FanDuel. Dropped is a very kind word to use. He gently placed down 8.5 fantasy points in that game. But, you look at the guy's track record over the course of the season. He's been doing fantastic. So 4,400 for a guy like Oubre, we know he's probably going to play close to 30 minutes. I'm right there with you, brother.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some nighttime basketball. We've got the Miami Heat. We got the Philadelphia 76ers. In my opinion, the best series of any of the first-round matchups. I think every single game in the series is going to be under 10 points. Yes, I said it. That's correct. But I think you just got great, solid matchups. Both teams are very good on defense. Might be a good series to watch from a basketball perspective, but do you think that maybe we see fewer fantasy points in this one?
Well, the second highest total, doesn't always mean a ton, but because in the playoffs you rarely see 220, right? See that. For those of you that don't know, playoffs, the game slows down. There's a lot more half court, unless you're the Warriors. There's a lot more half court. Which, in my opinion, favors the Heat a little bit. So the Heat have to do a couple things to be able to stay in this series. The first thing they have to do is they have to take advantage of the Sixers missing Embiid, and they have to set the low post presence of Whiteside. They have to. Amir Johnson cannot stop Hassan Whiteside down low. There's no way. So Whiteside has to be featured for the first 10 possessions of the ball game of every half. So that's the first thing they need to do. Second thing they need to do is once he sits, they're going to bring in Kelly Olynyk. Now, I think Olynyk can be their X factor for the playoffs because he's one of the few small ball centers that can shoot the three-pointer at will. A lot of the small ball centers, Draymond Green is not the greatest three-point shooter. I think a guys of like Julius Randle, who's not a good three-point shooter, like small ball fives. They're not really shooters. Olynyk is a shooter, so I think he's in play there. Then you have Mr. Experience in Dwayne Wade. So Wade's going to have to completely dominate the second unit, and he's going to have to put up 20-plus points a game for the Heat to have a chance to beat these guys. You're going to have guys like Wayne Ellington come off the bench and shoot a bunch of threes. You're going to have that kind of thing. Give me one second, Al, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to kind of pick up on what Vera was saying there, Hassan Whiteside's actually got the two highest fantasy point totals of any Heat player going up against the Sixers this season. So we got that. Dwayne Wade, I don't know if you remember, but he had that magical game against the Sixers. It was right after the school shooting there in Florida. So, you know, that was his contribution against the Sixers this season. He had about 38 on DraftKings, 40 there on FanDuel in 25 minutes. As Bear said, I mean, you know, he is Mr. Playoffs. Definitely came back to Miami for this reason. Maybe try to make one last run here throughout the course of his career. You know, will that game be tonight? It certainly can be. You know, you take a look at the Sixers' second unit. I don't think they're as good defensively as they are in the first unit. So,
right.
I really dig that a lot. You know, just looking at the Heat production over the course of the season against the Sixers, it's been pretty spread out. But, yeah, I mean, taking a look at that total, you know, some sort of good is going to have to come somewhere.
Someone's going to have to score, right?
Indeed, indeed. Hey, Vegas says so it's got to be true.
Yeah. So that's from the Heat side. From the Philly side,
love that side in baseball.
Yeah, I'm sure. We would never have guessed by your, you know, Phillies icon on your Slack there.
Gotta make it known. Gotta make it known.
Everything starts and ends with Ben Simmons. I mean, we know that. Yeah. Here's the thing. Simmons is 10K, which is a lot. He certainly has 50 potential, but let's say he puts up 50. You're looking at 5X. If you're looking at winning a large tournament, you're probably going to need 5.5 to 6.5X. If you're playing some cash games, you've got stability there with Simmons. I don't mind it at all.
Right.
But I'm also looking at the other side of that, and that is Eric Spoelstra. And Spoelstra knows what Simmons does.
Yeah.
He's one of those few coaches that I'm really, really impressed with. He runs schemes. He knows how to defend. He does really, really well with that. So, I'm on the fence, to be honest. There's no way in the world I'm paying $7,900 for Covington. There's no way. I won't do it. I understand he's going to step up and all that, but in order for him to really crush his value, he's going to need a bunch of steals and blocks. That's tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to piggyback off your Simmons point, I'm not going to play Simmons mainly because, look, we've seen what the Heat can do against LeBron James. I mean, I think it's a very similar type of player where, you know, you just try to bottle up that guy and then you make the rest of the team beat you. Now, granted, the Sixers, I feel, have a better roster than the Cavaliers at this point. So all I think that means is that the production is just going to come from other places. I know that people might see Simmons today with that high total and think it's all good, but I really think that a lot of these other different pieces, like a J.J. Redick, perhaps a Marco Bellinelli, Dario Saric, guys like that can really assert themselves in this game.
Yes.
I'm not like over, oh my God, I got to have Ben Simmons, because you think about it, they've got plenty of guys that can match up with him one-on-one. Josh Richardson, James Johnson, well, maybe not plenty of guys, but two guys that could do it. But, you know, and again, Miami isn't necessarily a one-man, defensive unit. They play a very good defensive team unit, or good team defense. And you mentioned it with Eric Spoelstra. You nailed it right on the head. One of the best coaches in the NBA. He will certainly have a game plan ready for Ben Simmons. So, much like there was a slate that we had late in the regular season there, where you said, oh, yeah, definitely going Aldridge over Simmons. Yeah, let's have a repeat of that, please.
Yeah. And then also don't forget they can throw Justice Winslow at Simmons if they need to.
Yeah, okay. All right, so they do have plenty of people. I don't know how I forgot about the Dookie there. Now, do you agree there, too, from Philly, that, you know, hey, we see a lot of points coming in this game tonight, perhaps.
Right.
They could do a very good job against Simmons, but, you know, that still leaves guys like Redick and all these other guys open. Anybody in particular that sticks out?
I mean, if you're not going to play Simmons, which I'm saying I'm not going to, then you definitely want to play the parts around him because he's going to get them the ball. So I think Redick is – here's the thing about Redick. A lot of people think, well, if he doesn't make a shot – Redick always makes a shot. That's what he does. But on top of that, here's the mental aspect of Redick. It's very well known that he was brought in to lead this young team in the playoffs. And so I think Redick is going to say, okay, this is what I was brought in for. This is what I'm going to do. And he's going to want to assert himself early on in the game and then early on in the series. So I definitely like Redick there a lot. Ilyasova is very similar, right? I'm a veteran. I was brought in here for playoffs. Here I am. Hear me roar. So, and that leaves me also Dario Saric. Saric is at 5,700 on FanDuel. We remember in the season games where Embiid was out, Saric was a 7K player. Take advantage. Take advantage. I've been getting a lot of questions on Markelle Fultz. I don't mind him given that he's, where is he, 4,300 on FanDuel. I don't mind it. But let's keep something in mind, right? He's a rookie, but he's not a rookie who's been playing all season. So he still really hasn't had the experience of the NBA yet. Mm-hmm. And you can't just throw him into the first playoff game and expect him to be able to do well.
Oh, because, why not?
Because he's never experienced this before. Right? I mean, when he started playing, like, I don't think he even experienced an intense kind of game at all yet.
Yeah, those games against the Knicks, Nets, Magic. Boy, they're really getting you ready for the playoffs.
Exactly. Those were a cakewalk of a game. So that's my only kind of hesitation on Fultz.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do something here on the fly, Bear. We're going to make this next game, the Blazers-Pelicans game, the last one for this. Going to hit the stop. I'm going to do a new podcast for the tomorrow games. That way we just get this one out sooner for the people. But let's talk about this last one here of the night with the Pelicans and the Blazers. Man, I think this is going to be a really fun series. Can't wait to watch it. My guy, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, this is their go time. And you know what's kind of crazy is that I think a lot of people have already written off Golden State just based on how they played without Stephen Curry. That's fine. But, let's not act like that injury to Mbamute for the Rockets is just some small thing. I think if the right things fall the right way, this is going to be the ultimate hot take, but there's a decent chance, I think, that the Blazers can find themselves in the NBA Finals.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think if everything rolls, like, let's say Chris Paul ends up getting hurt for the Rockets during, the time that they end up getting to the Western Conference Finals, I would give the Blazers a pretty damn good chance to win that series.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree. So it's time to point to your watch, man. It's damn time. I mean, you know
what time it is. I love that time.
This is damn time. I probably would pay up to 11K for Dame today.
Strong.
I think he's going to come out. He's going to say, you know what? I'm an all-star this season. People are talking about giving me some MVP votes. I'm finally getting the recognition that I've always wanted and desired. We're back home. First game of the playoffs. He's going to take off. I don't see any way Dame doesn't put up 55. Really. I mean, that's what I'm playing a lot of Dame. So Dame is my first target there. Plus, if you look at the matchup, it's delicious. So you mentioned CJ. I definitely don't mind CJ, right? I think the issue that I have is,
that pain in the ass, Drew Holiday?
That's the first issue, right? The second issue is DeMar DeRozan's the same price. So if I'm choosing between those two, considering that I know Dame's going to lose his mind in game one, I'm probably going to have to go DeMar over CJ.
Okay. That's a fair argument.
So my second favorite play here, second to Dame, is going to be the center in Nurkic. So out of all of the centers on the slate today, he's probably going to play the most minutes. Whiteside's minutes are in the mid-20s. Valanciunas is in the mid-20s. Who knows what happened to Pau Gasol? God knows. Too many variables there. Nurkic is the one guy that consistently plays over 30. This is definitely a good pace for him. He's not one of those, you know, big lug centers who doesn't move like Yovel, like Whiteside. He's a much faster guy. So Nurkic to me is hands down the safest center on the slate.
Okay. And I mentioned this the last time his two teams played, but the only worry that I have against Nurkic is him being an idiot and possibly getting into foul trouble against AD. But I do think he does enough on the offensive end to pay off his price.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I always have a slight worry about him going against talented centers or talented bigs, whatever. You know, just, again, because he's an idiot. So. Not like I'm graduating from Ivy League schools or anything like that, but at least I can keep my hands to myself.
Well, I don't know, man. I've seen you at the bar. I don't know about that. About that so much.
Set myself up nice for that one. All right.
Sneaky power forward play off for Aminu. Aminu will be matched up with Mirotić.
I like
Aminu in that matchup. We'll talk about Mirotić here when we get to the Pelican side of things. But Aminu, 4,800, fast-paced, up-tempo game, which is what he's made for. I think this is a great spot for him.
Absolutely. Outstanding price on FanDuel, $4,800, too, by the way.
Yeah. Speaking of outstanding price.
Okay. I like those.
So, Mo Harkless has been ruled out for this game already. Minimum price, Evan Turner.
Hey.
36 minutes we have him slated for here.
Forget Kelly Oubre.
I mean, here's the thing. How do you not play him, right? That's the first thing. Second thing is, everyone else is also going to be playing him. So in tournament, you got to think of one of two things. Either A, eat the chalk, you know, he's minimum price, build your roster, differentiate elsewhere. Or screw that, hope he burns and sucks, and don't play him and get an advantage elsewhere. So I'm going to do a little bit of both. I'm probably going to have about 30 lineups today. So I'll have, you know, half and half probably with Turner or half and half without Turner.
Okay. Just taking a look at, you know, hell, I've been doing it all podcast, so I stop now. But Lillard has three of the four highest fantasy point totals against the Pelicans this season, two of them going for 50 or more. The other one went for 43. So, you know, good history here against them. The other one that popped up in there trying to get himself in the mix, Jusuf Nurkić. On March 27th, he went for 44 on DraftKings, 46 on FanDuel. And your boy Farouk Aminu there had two really nice performances against the Pelicans, going for 35-plus in two of the meetings against them this season.
Yes.
So, basically, we fact-checked, and you were 100% correct. Well done. All right, let's talk about the other side of this one.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is pretty good at basketball.
He's not bad.
Well, you know, it's crazy. As good as he is at basketball, he's never won a playoff game before.
Well, how many chances has he gotten, right? So... So we've got AD, I think we have his projected to hit 60. Look, it's going to be tough not to play him if he loses his damn mind. Here's the thing. AD in the playoffs, no matter how the score looks on either side, he's playing. So you don't have to worry about him not playing. Obviously, injury is always a factor, but that's with everyone. If we're projecting a guy to hit 60, it's hard not to play him. It really is. Now, the second guy on that Pelicans roster that I'm really, really, really looking at is going to be Drew. I think Drew is a little pricey. He's at 87 on FanDuel. But I don't think he'll have the ownership that a lot of people might think because of that price.
Sure.
Because when you're trying to construct your roster and you're a shooting guard at 8,700, you're going to have to play Evan Turner. You can't play Kevin Durant. You're going to have a hard time playing Nurkic and Damian Lillard. It's hard to play all those guys. So I think Drew might go under-owned, and I love his position here. So I'm going to play a decent amount of Drew. Now, I wrote about this earlier in Slack. For those of you that might be a little bit younger or maybe a little more casual NBA fans, the term playoff Rondo is very, very real.
Woo! My man.
Playoff Rondo is not a joke. It's not a myth. He is an absolute monster when the playoffs come. I am playing a lot more Rondo than probably most people will because of that reason.
Yeah, and you know our boy Lowe's all the time talks about Rajon Rondo on national television. Well, guess where all the playoff games are?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, besides you know, United States, excluding the Toronto Raptors. But yeah, they're all on prime time, baby. They, especially this series. I doubt they'll be getting the NBA TV treatment much in this series. That's usually for, like, Atlanta-Orlando playoff series. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, you look at Rondo compared to these other point guards on the slate. I mean, there is legit 50-point upside every time he takes the court. Playoffs, great matchup here against the Blazers. You look at the ADVP, point guard, shooting guard, by far the best way to attack this Blazers team. And, you know, taking a look at the line here tonight, Blazers 5-point favorites. I mean, granted, it is one of the better matchups on the day, but they are also the smallest home favorite here today on the slate, too. So if that's telling us anything, you know, Portland should have plenty of success. I really like either Rondo or Holiday here.
Same here. Now, a guy that I am not playing in a single spot tonight is going to be Mirotić.
Okay.
And a lot of you like him. A lot of people say, oh, he's been playing really well, blah, blah, blah. This is the type of game where Aminio gets 35 minutes, and all of those minutes will be matched up with Mirotić. He is going to make Mirotić miserable. I'm not going up against Aminio on Mirotić. There's no chance. So I'll go pick my 7K power forwards elsewhere.
Yeah, I like that again too. You know, we've seen Aminio very long, very very pesky defender out there.
Yeah.
Definitely a little, when he's rocking the fro, that even adds a couple inches to him. But, I love that play there. Especially, you know, Mirotić has been crushing it here down the stretch. You know, again, this is – the playoffs are a much different animal, I'm sure. My fave is more about ownership on Mirotić because I think a lot of people will try to get sneaky there, try to cut some corners instead of going to Aldridge or Simmons or something like that. So – I certainly agree with you there.
Clay Aldridge. Another possible sneaky ownership play is going to be Etuan Moore. He's strictly GPP, but the thing about Etuan Moore is he's going to get Evan Turner on him most of the game. So that's something you definitely want to take advantage of. That's pretty much the lot. I mean, maybe Ian Clark, maybe. Okay. And I say that because a lot of folks have seen that Ian Clark has finished games over Rondo, but I don't think that happens here in the playoffs. So probably stick with Rondo.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Saturday podcast edition. Me and Bear, we're going to hit stop on this damn thing. We're going to record tomorrow's, like, immediately right now. So I hope you enjoyed it. And I guess at the end of that one, we could have our final predictions here for the playoffs. So definitely stay tuned for that. All right, it'll be uploaded right after this one, so we'll do all that fancy shit on the next one. We go!
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.